We're holding on Yud Ches Amud Beis, the third line of the medium-sized lines. Yesterday, we were talking about the fact that a person's husband or wife is basher to them min hashamayim, and we brought in that connection a statement that Rav said in the name of Rav Reuben ben Utsruvili, to the effect that we see in Chumash and in Neviim and in Ksuvim this concept that Isha le'ish, and the Hashem Isha le'ish, that Hashem is the one who determines which woman goes to which man. So now the Gemara brings another thing from the same Manda Omar. So the Omar of Rav Mishum Reb Reuven ben Tzruvili, and Rav also says in the name of Reb Reuven ben Tzruvili, the Amri Law will others say Masnisa Tana Omar Reb Reuven ben Tzruvili. Another version is it's not Rav saying it over as a statement in the name of Reb Reuven ben Tzruvili, but rather that they had a Braisa where Reb Reuven said that. The Amri Law Masnisa Tana, so the Amri Law Masnisa Tana Omar Reb Reuven ben Tzruvili. Ain Adam Nechshed B'Davar Elim Kein Asoy. A person is never suspected of doing a certain thing unless he actually did it. The imlo also koi, even if he didn't do all of it, also miktsasay, at least he did something of it. The imlo also miktsasay, and even if he didn't actually do it, hear beliber lasaysay. Then at least it means that he hadn't. The fact that there's a rumor going around about the fact that people are suspecting him of it means that at least he had in his mind to do it. And if it's somebody who didn't actually even think of it, nevertheless, it must be. Why did Hashem cause that people suspect him of it? Because he saw somebody else doing it and he was happy about it. However, Rabbi Yaakov says that's not an absolute rule. We have examples where people were suspected and it was completely unjustly. A pasuk says, "Vaychapu bnei Yisrael dvarim asher lekein al Hashem lekeim." The pasuk says that the Jewish people claimed things about Hashem; they attributed things to Hashem which are not true. So, in other words, we're saying, so to speak, that they accused Hashem of certain things, of doing certain things, where in fact Hashem, of course, had not done any of those things that they're accusing him of. Not even thought about it. Not even samach. Not even roachem to samach. So you see that it's not always the case. And the answer is, you're right. We're talking about they were doing it lahachis. They knew full well that this isn't the case. And they're deliberately claiming that Hashem did these things in order to anger him. We're not talking about that kind of case. We're talking about the normal situation where it's not lahachis, where people are just suspecting the person of doing something, where it means that he has some connection with it. Toshma, let's bring another proof. The pasuk says in Tilim, "Vayikanu l'Moshe b'machne." They were jealous against Moshe in the machne, la'aron kedosh Hashem, and they were jealous against Aaron, the holy one of Hashem. Now, with Aaron, we know what happened. There was the whole story with Korach, where they were jealous of his prerogatives, of Aaron's prerogatives, and all his kohen gadol, and therefore they started a whole fight against him. What was against Moshe? So Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar Malamed Shekol Echad Kinei LeIshto MiMoshe, means that every Jew over there did kinui on his wife, telling her don't be alone with Moshe, which means, in other words, they're suspecting him of being mezana with their wives, Chas v'Shalom. And of course, Moshe didn't even think of such a thing. So we see again that a person can be suspected of something, and there's no trace of truth there. And again, the answer is Hasim Mishum Sinahu Da'avud. They did that because they hated Moshe, not because they thought that it was actually true, but because they were just doing it in order to display their hatred for Moshe. Again, we're not talking about that. So now, what would have been at least their superficial excuse for doing this, their superficial excuse would have been that, look, people are always going to Moshe people are always going to Moshe to ask him questions in halacha and questions in Torah. Sometimes there would be women going there, so therefore they could plausibly claim as an excuse that Moshe is being alone with them, which of course it was never the case, and therefore they'd be mechanic to their wives. Another point also Another point is also that the Gemara, the Medrash, mentions elsewhere that people said, listen, a man has need. And we know that Moshe separated from Tzipora. So where is he satisfying them? It must be. But again, these are all plausible sounding excuses that they were using. Nobody actually believed them. They're only doing them out of hatred for Moshe. So we're not talking about that kind of case. Tashma, let's bring another proof. Rabbi Yossi says, may my portion in Gan Eden be together with those who are suspected of something where they didn't actually do it. In other words, sometimes you have that people are completely unjustly suspected of something, and they get a reward min hashamayim for putting up with that. So Rabbi Yossi is saying that I hope that I have my portion in Gan Eden among such people. And v'amar Rav Papa, and in fact Rav Papa says, in fact, that happened to me. They suspected me of something, and I never had even a trace of it. What is the thing they suspected him of? There's a couple of interesting explanations based on different other Gemaras of events that happened with Rav Papa. One of them is there's a Gemara in Shabbos where Rav Papa says that a person who's able to drink to drink beer and instead drinks wine is over on Bal Tashchis because wine costs more, and therefore he's wasting money on that. Which the Gemara ends up saying over there, it's not so, because it's more important to keep his body healthy, and wine is better for you than beer. So there were people who, the Rashash says over there, there were people who were choshed Rav Papa, that why did he say that statement in the first place? Because he was trying to drum up business for himself. He himself was a brewer, that was his parnasa, was making beer, so therefore he's trying to drum up business by saying that people should drink more beer and less wine. So now Rav Papa is telling us, no, that was a chshad, that was a false accusation. I never had that in mind. I actually meant that people shouldn't be wasting their money. They should be buying something cheaper. Another explanation refers to a story in Bava Basra where it says that Rav Papa was one time going up a ladder and a rung broke and he almost fell. And one of the other chachamim says to him that maybe what happened was that an oni came to you for tzedakah and you failed to give him, and therefore you were almost chayiv skila. So that would be another thing where the papa is saying they suspected me unjustly of that. In fact, I never turned away a poor person. A couple of other explanations like that, but in any case, we see that a person can be suspected and there's of something, and there's not even a trace of it in him. So the answer is, it depends whether we're talking about a rumor that stops. If people start spreading a rumor about him, but then they stop spreading it, then we know it means that they realize that the whole thing is false, and therefore everybody's embarrassed to say it anymore. Whereas with kola delay posik, where it's a rumor that keeps on spreading, then there's reason to assume that it means that the person actually did some semblance of it, or at least was happy about it being done. Unless, as we said before, it's because lahachis or because of sinna, like with Hashem and with Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says v'kola delay posik ad kama. Okay, so if you have a rumor like that, that's not stopping, how long does it need to be going on before we say that where there's smoke, there's fire, that there's something behind this rumor, maybe? Omar Abaya, so Abaya says, Omar li aim, my mother told me, and we have throughout Shas, that his mother doesn't actually mean his birth mother, she passed away while she was giving birth to him, it means his foster mother. So throughout Shas, we have pieces of advice and that she gives him. Anyway, so she says, Dumi demasa yoima upauga. The suspect of the city, in other words, when you have a person who rumors are going around about him, when do you have to consider that there's grounds for those suspicions if the rumor continues being spread for a day and a half? People are talking about it for a day and a half. And Vahani Milu de Posef Beni Beni. Now that would only apply if there was no interruption in the middle. In other words, for a day and a half consecutively, people are talking about it. Aval posak beni beni, but if there was an interruption in between, people stopped talking about it, and then now people are talking about it again, less long ba, then there's no issue with it, because then that shows that it's not really a well-founded rumor, and that's why people stopped talking about it. V'chi posak beni beni le'amoron. However, when we're saying that it stopped in the middle, then we're saying that it's not a valid rumor, but that would only apply el v'le posak machmas yira, only if the reason why it stopped was not because of yira. So let's say the person that they're spreading the rumors about is a powerful person, and they know that he would have the ability to harm them. So then they might stop, not because they don't believe it's true, but because they're afraid of the consequences. Well, then that doesn't affect, that interruption then doesn't affect the truth of the rumor. We can say the rumor may well be true, and they just stopped for a while because they were afraid of them. If they stopped in the middle because of fear, then no, then the rumor is still valid. Furthermore, we're only talking about when it didn't grow again and start growing, that people are talking about it to the same degree as before. We just said that there's posak, that there can be an interruption in the middle of it, but there can also be where after that interruption, you can have where fewer people are talking about it, and then you can have where the same number of people are talking about it. The Lashon Tzamach, Rashi says, like it grew again and it starts growing in the same degree as it was before. Abel, Hodor Novak Loi. If it grows again, then no, then we say that, then we would say it may still be a valid rumor, because the fact that even it stopped, but now, so it wasn't even Machmas Yira, fine, but now it grew again and people are talking about it in the same numbers as before, shows that there may be something to this rumor. However, all of that is only talking about if he doesn't have enemies, Abel Islay Ovim, but if he has enemies, then like we said before, Ovim Hudaf Kola Kola, it may well be that his enemies are the ones spreading the rumor, and therefore that doesn't necessarily mean there's anything to it. As far as that third one about Hodor Nova, so Rashi and many of them, and Rashi and some of the other Rishonim explain that that's what it means. In other words, that where it grows again to the same proportions as the original, then it means there is something to the rumor. Hakos Marav Ranchberg over here talks about that actually no. What it might mean is that when we discuss when it's considered a kol b'lo posik, that it's considered a rumor that's not stopping. It has to last for a day and a half, and it has to not be stopped in the middle because of fear. Now we're saying, on the other hand, that when it stops, then usually we would say that it means that it's not a valid rumor, but if it starts again to the same degree, then it means that it is. In other words, he explains there's three possibilities. Where it continues uninterrupted for a day and a half, then it means there may be grounds for this rumor. If it completely stops, and there's not even Hodor Novat, it doesn't grow again, that doesn't start up again, then it means that there's no truth to the rumor. And if it stopped, and Hodor Novat, even if it wasn't a day and a half, so it's not Bori Gomer, it's not a certainty, but nevertheless, there is what to be choshish about it. I mean, these dinim are negeya lahalacha. We'll talk about them actually in Masechta Yevamos in a couple of months, Bez Hashem. They're negeya, for example, if there are rumors that a woman was mezana or something. How much credence do we have to give such rumors is going to depend on these kinds of factors that we talked about in the Gemara. Okay. We said in the previous Mishnah that there are certain things you're allowed to write on Chol HaMoed because they're Davar Avod or Tzolchei Rabim or what have you. So now let's talk about things that you're not allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says, "Ein kosvin shtorei choiv b'moed." You're not allowed to write documents of where a person is borrowing money from somebody else, an IOU. You're not allowed to write them on Chol HaMoed because it's not a Davar Avod. Just write them after. The im einem aminoi. If the lender doesn't trust the borrower, so therefore he won't lend the money without a shtar, and the borrower needs this money. Or if the sofer does not have enough food, does not have enough money for food, and therefore we want to hire him and give him a job to write this shtar so he can earn some money. We talked about this previously in the Masechta. At the end of the second parak, we discussed the question, is that bechlal a valid reason to hire somebody on Chol HaMoed, where you're not doing it because you need the work done on Chol HaMoed per se, but just because the person you're hiring needs work and needs money. And we ended up saying, based on our Mishnah, that yes, that's the She'in Le'mayochel, means that the sofer does not have enough money for food, and therefore you're writing the shtar in order to give him money. So then, Harezi Yichtov, then you're allowed to write the shtar. Continues the Mishnah. You're not allowed to write Sifrei Torah or Tefillin or Mezuzas on Chol HaMoed, because that's already Maisa Uman. Those are done in a professional way, and they're not necessarily needed for Chol HaMoed. You're not even allowed to correct even one letter in a Sefer Torah. I feel a Sefer Ezra, even in the Sefer Torah that Ezra HaSofer himself wrote, which apparently they still had it at the time that the Mishnah was composed. So even that Sefer, which is supposed to be like the master copy that everybody would copy their Sefer Torah from, and you find a mistake in it during Chol HaMoed, you wouldn't be allowed to fix it. Just wait till after Chol HaMoed. A different explanation, Rashi says, a different Girsa, is not Sefer Ezra, but Sefer Azora, which means the Sefer Torah that they kept in the Azora of the Beis Mikdash, which again, that was used as a master copy to copy all other Sefer Torah from, so you're not even allowed to correct that one on Chol HaMoed, because just wait till after Chol HaMoed. With that said, the Rishonim say the reason why not is because you don't necessarily need to learn from that Sefer Torah during Chol HaMoed. The Sefer Azora, they would learn from it on Yom Kippur. So therefore, Yom Kippur is not doing Chol HaMoed, so therefore you don't necessarily have a dispensation. But, for example, the Ritva talks about that if, in fact, you need to correct it now because the Sefer is not going to be available after Chol HaMoed or something like that, then you might be allowed to, because again, it would be Davar Avod. The Ritva mentions in that connection that you also, a person comes up with Chidushei Torah during Chol HaMoed, he's also allowed to write them down, because to wait till after Chol HaMoed, and he may forget them, would be considered Davar Avod. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosev Adam Tefillin and Mezuzas La'atzmoy. Rabbi Yehuda says during Chol HaMoed, a person is allowed to write Tefillin and Mezuzas for himself. So he's not allowed to write them to sell to other people, but he's allowed to write them for himself to use during Chol HaMoed, which gets into the question of putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. We'll talk about that shortly. Rashi, by the way, refers to something that we learned previously on Daf Yud Beis that said that when you have somebody who's not getting paid for his work on Chol HaMoed, so then he's allowed to do that work. When he's getting paid, then it's different. So if he's selling the tefillin and mezuzahs to other people, he's getting paid for them, then not. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying to write for himself, that would be mutter. And he would be allowed to spin wool on his leg to make tchelas for his tzitzis, which means, in other words, the normal way of spinning thread would be to use a spindle, a tool that you use for that purpose of spinning thread. Instead, on Chol HaMoed, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if you want to make yourself threads for tzitzis, then you're allowed to spin them by rubbing by rolling the wool against your leg. So therefore, that's a shinui. So therefore, you're doing with a shinui, and therefore, it's allowed on Chol HaMoed. Now, Tosfos points out with Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzahs, we were saying with Tefillin and Mezuzahs, which Rabbi Yehuda is allowing you to write for yourself on Chol HaMoed, there he's not saying to make a shinui. You can't. You have to write Ksiva Tama. You have to write a perfect writing, and therefore, you can't very well write with a shinui. Tosfos talks about something about writing Al Yidei Hipuch. Which means backwards. Whether that's allowed or not. So the Gemara says Tanan Rabbanan, Kosev Adam Tefillin and Mezuzas La'atzmoy. A person is allowed to write Tefillin and Mezuzas for himself during Chol HaMoed. V'tovah Yerechet Tchelas Tzisoy. He's allowed to, as we said, spin wool for Tchelas by rolling it along his leg. So for himself, he's allowed to do that. V'lacherim b'tova divrei Reb Meir. And Reb Meir also adds that he's even allowed to do these things for other people for free. So again, to do it where he's getting paid, that we said would be a problem during Chol HaMoed. But if he wants to do it for them for free, b'tova means just where they're going to be machzik lo tova. They're going to thank him and give him credit for doing them a favor. That Reb Meir is saying would be allowed. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. But marim u'moicheres shaloi, what you do is you do a harama, you do a trick, you sell your own tefillin or mezuzahs, and now v'chosev la'atzmoi, and then you say, well, look, I don't have tefillin, I don't have mezuzahs, so I need to write them now, and therefore that would give you a heter to write them. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir than a mayor. Tosfos brings an explanation from an earlier collection of Tosfos that maybe Reb Meir is only allowing with Harama, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is more Meikel, but Tosfos says, I don't understand how that's possible. It seems that Rabbi Yehuda is more Machmir than Reb Meir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says a third opinion, Kosev Umoicha Kedei Panasasei, Kosev Umoicha Kedei Panasasei, he's allowed to write He's allowed to write tefillin mezuzos the normal way during Chol HaMoed as much as he needs for his parnasta. So Rashi says we're not talking about where ein lo mayoichal. We're not talking about where he doesn't have enough food for, you know, enough money for food for Chol HaMoed. We're talking about where he wants to earn some money during Chol HaMoed so he can celebrate Yom Tov better. So then Rabbi Yossi is allowing him to write tefillin mezuzos and even to sell them. On the other hand, Tosfos discusses a little bit over here. In fact, is what is Rabbi Yossi saying? Is Rabbi Yossi maybe saying that the only way you can do it is when my yoichal? Maybe in fact, not like Rashi. Maybe Rabbi Yossi's kadei panosase actually means when ein lo my yoichal, when he doesn't have food for money, when he doesn't have money for food, then Rabbi Yossi would allow him, but not otherwise. So the Gemara says, "Oyre le Rav le Rav Chananel. Rav gave a psak din to Rav Chananel. Va'amilo Rav Baba Chana le Rav Chananel. Others say that it was Rav Baba Chana gave the heter to Rav Chananel. Halacha kosev moichel kedauke kidei panasase. The halacha is like Rabbi Yosi. You are allowed to write tefillin mezuzas during Chol HaMoed for kidei panasase, which again, according to Rashi, would mean even he has enough money for food, but he wants to have more money in order to celebrate Yom Tov more nicely. And according to Tosfos, possibly it means only where he has no money for food at all. So now, an interesting question is, how does all this relate to the question of putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed? Now, we know there are different minhagim, but obviously those different minhagim have to be based on something. Now, our Gemara maybe seems to imply that you are allowed to, that you do put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, because we're talking about writing tefillin for the purpose of Chol HaMoed. The pastor said we're talking about that you're writing them in order for yourself or others to put them on Chol HaMoed. Tosfos says, on the other hand, here we're talking according to the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now they hold that Shabbos is man tefillin. They hold that even on Shabbos you put on tefillin. So therefore, obviously, if according to them, you put on tefillin on Shabbos, then obviously you put it on Chol HaMoed as well. Chol HaMoed is not more important than Shabbos. So that's not necessarily a solid proof. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from Yerushalmi that at least Rav understands our Mishnah to be saying, when would you not be allowed to put on to write tefillin during Chol HaMoed is when you're planning to put them away until after Chol HaMoed and only start wearing them then. So then it's not a tzor Chol HaMoed, implying, but if you're planning to put them on during Chol HaMoed, then if you need them to put them on during Chol HaMoed, then you'd be allowed to write them. So that would be a source to say that you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. On the other hand, Tosfos brings from the Halachos Gedolos that says that you don't. An interesting thing is actually, so you know, in the Mishnayos, you have in the big Mishnayos, in the Yochanan Boaz Mishnayos, you have Tosfos Yom Tov, the full commentary of Tosfos Yom Tov. In many editions of Mishnayos, you have instead only Ikur Tosfos Yom Tov. You have an abridged version of it, which was composed by Rav Meshulam Katz about 150 years after the Tosfos Yom Tov's time. So, for example, in the Eshkol Mishnayos and in the back for the Siddur, where they have the Perukim of Mishnayos for an Oval and for a Yortzai, they have, instead of the full Tosfos Yom Tov, they only have Ikur Tosfos Yom Tov. So there's an interesting thing. At the end of, if you look in the Eshkol Mishnayos, at the end of Moed Katan, there's a note there from this author, from this compiler of Ikur Tosfos Yom Tov, where he says, okay, so Tosfos is bringing a proof from that Yerushalmi that you do put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Now the fact is, how would those who say you don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, how are they going to understand that? So he goes through a whole arichus over there, and he says when the Yerushalmi uses the expression that Rav posel b'koisav l'haniach, Rav would understand our Mishnah as talking about where you write in the tefillin l'haniach. So on the face of it, l'haniach means, like Tosfos says, means to put them away until after Chol HaMoed. So then it would be also to write them during Chol HaMoed, but otherwise it would be mutter. So now this Rav Meshulam says, on the other hand, maybe l'haniach means like l'haniach tefillin. So Rav is saying that our Mishnah is talking, again, according to the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that they hold Shabbos Zman Tefillin, so of course, according to them, you would put on Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. But since the Halacha is not like them, then therefore the Halacha would be that there's no putting on Tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and therefore there's no heter to write Tefillin according to that. It would come out, there's no heter to write Tefillin on Chol HaMoed because you're not wearing them on Chol HaMoed anyway, and therefore it's not Tzor HaMoed. So maybe you would have, like Rabbi Yossi is saying, if you need for parnasa, then maybe it would be allowed, but otherwise not. In any case, so that very statement in the Yerushalmi, Rav Posel of the Kosef Laniach, could conceivably be understood not like Tosfos does, but rather to say that it means that you actually don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So Lamai says, we know nowadays there are different minhagim. By and large, by and large, non-Hasidish Ashkenazim do, Sfardim and Hasidim don't. Okay. So now we're pretty much done with the dinim of Chol HaMoed. Now, from here until the end of the Perek, we're going to be talking about dinim of Avelus. We got into it because in the first Mishnah of our Perek, we talked about we said that there were certain similarities between Chol HaMoed and Avelus. Namely, we said you can't wash your clothes, you can't do laundry, and you can't cut your hair during those times with certain exceptions. And we talked about in the Gemara a little bit about the dinim of Avelus. So now we're going to talk about in more detail the Mishnayos from here to the rest of to the end of the Masechta are going to be talking about the various dinim of Avelus. So the Mishnah starts off. Hakover es meso shloisha yomim kodim l'regel. If a person buries his relative 3 or more days before Yom Tov, Tosafot points out, we use the word hakover because the avelos doesn't begin, the shiva doesn't begin from the death, it begins from the burial. So if the burial took place 3 or more days before Yom Tov, bat lahimenu gzeiras shiva, then once Yom Tov comes, the gzeira of shiva, the things that he's also to do during shiva, are no longer in effect. We're going to end up seeing in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, that the halacha is not like our Mishnah. The halacha, we're going to talk about it a little bit today and more tomorrow, that the halacha is actually that you don't even need 3 days, even 1 day, even a short amount of time of Avelus before Yom Tov is enough to cancel Shiva. Shmoina continues the Mishnah. If he was doing the dinim of Avelus for 8 days, so in other words, the last day of Shiva was 2 days before Yom Tov, and the Erev Yom Tov itself is the 8th day, so then, then the Shloshim is cancelled by the Yom Tov, because once he kept a little bit of Shloshim, so he doesn't have to keep the rest of it after Shloshim. We'll see in the Gemara two different opinions about that. Why by Shiva is the Mishnah saying 3 days and by Shloshim 1 day? So Rishonim explained because you actually find, Tosafos actually points out briefly, that you find that 3 days of Shiva is considered a specific time of its own. Namely, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about that the first 3 days are mainly reserved for crying over the mess. Then the remaining 4 days of Shiva are not so much for crying. By that time, you've started getting over it. They're rather for the rest of the dinim of Avelus, as far as sitting on low chairs and wearing torn clothes and not bathing, etc. But the first 3 days are l'vchi. Therefore, we're saying over here, if you have 3 days before Yom Tov. Again, we're going to say later on in the Gemara that the halacha is not like that. And the same thing when we say in the Gemara, when we said in the Mishnah that only if the 8th day or any later comes out on Erev Yom Tov, only then is Shloshim Batel. Again, we're going to see in the Gemara that it's not that way. So the Mishnah continues, B'nesha Amru. Now here's the rule that the Chachamim said. Shabbos Ola, Shabbos counts towards the 7 days of Shiva, the Enemaf Sekis, it does not interrupt them. Meaning, so a person starts sitting Shiva, then comes Shabbos in the middle. So for the most part, he's not doing the dinim of Avelus. He doesn't sit there in torn clothes and he can go to shul, etc. Nevertheless, though, it still counts as one of the 7 days of Shiva. It doesn't cancel Shiva. And the reason is because, in fact, on Shabbos, you do keep certain dinim of Avelus. You keep Dvorim Shabbatzina, things that are in private. For example, Tash Mishamita is also doing Shiva even on Shabbos. So therefore, it counts as one of the 7 days of Shiva. Also, the Yerushalmi over here brings a point that, after all, if you didn't say that, you'd never have full days of Shiva, because 7 days and 7 days always include Shabbos. So on the other hand, regolim mafsikin ve'en oilin, on the other hand, the Yom Tovim interrupt the Shiva or the Shloshim, and they don't count towards it. Now, what do we mean by they don't count towards it? So Rashi says first, what it means is that let's say a person's relative passed away and was buried during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed. Now, we don't say that. Now, the Yom Tov itself suspends the Avelus. They don't actually start the Avelus until after Yom Tov. Therefore, we're saying Yom Tov does not count toward the days of Avelus. So his relative passed away during Chol HaMoed. We say that you have there's several days over there until the end of Yom Tov when nothing happens. After Yom Tov, he starts Shiva. So the days of Yom Tov are not counting towards it. Then Rashi brings... Then, Then Rashi continues, and he says that I found another explanation that says that, let's say, for example, now, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, you need 3 days of Shiva before Yom Tov in order to cancel Shiva. So let's say you had only 2 days of Shiva before the Yom Tov. So then it's not Batal. He's still going to have to keep the remaining 5 days of Shiva after the Regel. So that's what it means. That's another meaning of Regolim Mafsik in Vein and Olin, that the Regel interrupts the Shiva and doesn't count toward the days of Shiva. Now again, since the Halacha is not like that, then it would mean that the Halacha is not like this part of our Mishnah either. Now, then Rashi has an interesting line that says, Va'ani Omer, I say, which apparently is a Talmud of Rashi that wrote this, that says this is a Torah sofer, because the fact is you don't need Shloisha Yomim Lefnei Regel. You don't need 3 days before Yom Tov to cancel it. As we're going to say in the Gemara later, you only need a short amount of time of Shiva before it. Now, the problem with that is, and Hagoyes HaBach and Gilyon HaShas both point out that later on, tomorrow, we're going to learn about the Shemandach Dachbuch, that in fact, our Mishnah does in fact hold that you need 3 days. Now, fine, there are other opinions on the subject, and we're going to learn them in the Gemara tomorrow, and we're going to end up saying that, in fact, you don't need 3 days. But how can this Talmud of Rashi be saying that that our Mishnah says that you don't need 3 days when the Gemara later on seems to say pretty clearly that he does? On the other hand, Agos Marav Ranshburg on Daf Chof says that maybe not, maybe we could enter that word of Rashi. Maybe in fact the Mishnah and the Braisa that the Gemara brings later on are disagreeing, and therefore, so maybe you could reconcile the statement of the in Rashi Vani Omer and say that in fact it is possible maybe to learn on Mishnah as saying that that even if there was only a short amount of time, it still cancels it. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mishachora Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Atzeres K'Shabbos. Then Shavuos is like Shabbos in this regard, meaning just like we said that Shabbos does not cancel Shiva or Shloshim. Rabbi Eliezer is saying that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, then Shavuos, and he would say also Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are all like Shabbos in that regard, namely because at least when the Beis Hamikdash was standing, Shavuos had Yemei Tashlumin. You had the days after Shavuos in which you can bring the Korbanos. But after the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, Rabbi Eliezer says you don't have that. So therefore, why should it count as anything different than Shabbos? You have 1 day of Yom Tov. So fine, it counts as 1 day of Shiva. It doesn't cancel anything. Rabbi Gamliel, on the other hand, Rabbi Gamliel takes the opposite extreme. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim Kor Regalim. Not only Shavuos, but even Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur count like Regalim for this purpose, and they would cancel Shiva or Shloshim respectively. Not like either one. Not like Rabbi Eliezer, who's too machmir. Not like Rabbi Gamliel, who is too mekel. Ela atzeres Kor Regalim. Rather, they would say that atzeres, that Shavuos, counts like any of the Shalosh Regalim, meaning that it cancels Shiva or cancels Shloshim. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, Kishabbos, but they say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which each are only 1 day, Daraisa anyway, so therefore they only count like Shabbos because they never had Yemei Tashlumin anyway, therefore there's no reason they should count, say, the Chacham as any more than 1 day. We'll see in the Gemara again who the Halacha is like. So the Gemara says, Omar Rav, when we said at the beginning of the Mishnah that Yom Tov can cancel Shloshim, that means, says Rav, Gzeiras Batlu Yomim Loi Batlu. What it means is the Gzeira of Shloshim. One of the things a person is not allowed to do during Shloshim is get a haircut. So the Gzeira of Shloshim, when Yom Tov comes in the middle of Shloshim, then we're saying that it's Mevatel that, and now you're allowed to take a haircut. But yomim loy batlu, the actual days are not batul. Namely, you're going to have to finish shloshim after Yom Tov. V'chein omer Rav Huna gzeira batlu yomim loy batlu. Rav Huna says the same thing. But Rav Sheshe says no. After the yomim nami batlu, the days are also batul. In other words, that's it. Once Yom Tov comes, shloshim is over, and therefore, so you can take a haircut right before Yom Tov, as well as any time after Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, "My time a yomim leibotlu." In what sense do we mean that the, according to Rav and according to Rav Huna, the days are not bottle. Tosfos points out the word, the Lashon Mai timer in that connection is a little bit odd. You would have expected it to say Le'inyan Mai Lo Bottle. As far as what, are they not bottle? But okay, it kind of amounts to the same thing. What do Rav and Rav Huna mean that the days are not bottle? Means She'im Le Gilach Erev HaRegel Oso Le Galeach Achar HaRegel. So they're saying if the person did not take a haircut on Erev Yom Tov. So in other words, again, Shloshim, the Shiva was over before Yom Tov. Now he's in Shloshim. So now, because Yom Tov is coming, he would be able to cut his hair on Erev Yom Tov. But let's say he didn't. So then, also the Galeach Achar Rego, they would say he's not allowed to take a haircut after Yom Tov either, because Shloshim is still in effect. Now that can mean, in other words, that we're just saying that it doesn't matter what he did. Either way, Shloshim continues after Yom Tov. On the other hand, the Ritzva learns that what they're saying is, if the person took a haircut before Yom Tov and therefore, in that sense, showed that his Shloshim is over, then fine. Then after Yom Tov, the Shloshim are over. Then once Yom Tov comes, the Shloshim are over, and he doesn't have to consider to continue them after Yom Tov. But if he did not take a haircut on Erev Yom Tov, so then we say that the Shloshim was not canceled for him at all. It just means we suspend Shloshim for Yom Tov, and then he can continue after Yom Tov. That's how the ritual learns. Tosfos also, by the way, gets into the discussion. What about the other things that we're saying that are also doing, what about the things that are also doing Shiva? Would we say the same kind of thing when Yom Tov cancels Shiva, according to Rab and according to Rav Huna? Would we say by the same token, if he didn't do his laundry or he didn't bathe on Erev Yom Tov, would we say that maybe the Shiva, according to them, the Shiva continues after Yom Tov or not? So that's what Rab and Rav Huna are saying. That it means that it's not automatically that Shloshim is not actually canceled by Yom Tov. It's only suspended, and to the extent that he's allowed to take a haircut before Yom Tov. And the Gemara says, "Vaha Tanya," and indeed we learn in a Braisa like that opinion. Like that says, "Hakoveres Meso Shloshim Yomim Kodim LaRegel." If a person buries his relative 3 or more days before Yom Tov, then like our Mishnah said, the Gzera of Shiva is canceled, and therefore now he's allowed to wash his bathe and to do the various other things that were also doing Shiva. Shmoina Yomim Kodim LaRegel, if the burial was 8 or more days before Yom Tov, then the Gzera of Shloshim for him is canceled. Umagaleach Erev HaRegel, and he's allowed to take a haircut Erev Yom Tov. Im lo gilach erev haregel, but if he did not take a haircut erev yom tov, also the galerach achar haregel, then he's also to do it after the yom tov. So you see that is like Rav and Rav Huna, who are saying that the only thing we're allowing him is to take a haircut before yom tov, and to do the other things that he would usually be also doing shloshim lekavod yom tov, but not that the days of shloshim are actually canceled. They would actually continue after yom tov. Continues the Braisa. Abba Shol Omer, Mutala Galeach Achar Regel. On the other hand, Abba Shol says he is allowed to cut his hair after Yom Tov, because he says, Shem Shem Mitzvah Shlosha Mevatelas Gzeres Shiva, just as if there were 3 days of Avelos before Yom Tov, then that's Mevatel the rest of Shiva, and then he doesn't have to keep the rest of Shiva afterwards. Kach Mitzvah Shiva Mevatelas Gzeres Shloshim, the same way, once you kept the dinim of Avelos for 7 days, then it's Mevatel Shloshim completely, and therefore Abba Shol would say you're allowed to take a haircut after Yom Tov, and Shloshim is over for him. So we see, in other words, that Rav and Rav Huna are holding like the Tanakama of our Braisa. Tosfos points out, why don't we say that Rav Sheshes is like Abba Shol? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because the fact that the Braisa uses the phrase botlu implies not like Rav Sheshes, because the Braisa is focusing on botla himenu gzeiras shiva and gzeiras shloshim. It doesn't really say anything about the days. Rav Sheshes is going beyond the Braisa even and saying that the complete shloshim is canceled. So the Gemara says, so one second. So we said in the Braisa that Abba Shol is saying that once you had 7 days of Avelos before Yom Tov, then Shloshim is canceled. So what do you mean Shiva? Ba'anan Shmoina Tnan. Didn't we learn in the Mishnah that you need 8 days? And the answer is Kasava Abba Shol Miksaseyim Kekuloi. Abba Shol holds that no, a part of the day is considered like the whole day, And therefore, v'yom shvi ola l'kan l'kan. Therefore, the seventh day of Shiva actually counts not only as the seventh day of Shiva, but also as the first day of Shlosh. So therefore, according to him, you only need the seventh day to be before Yom Tov, and then already Shloshim is canceled. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shila, halacha ka Abba Shol. The halacha is like Abba Shol. Tosfos points out that means, like Abba Shol, it comes out that Abba Shol is arguing with the Chachamim on two points. Number one, where the Chachamim are not saying Mikta Seyem Kekulay, and Abba Shol is, which would mean, according to the Chachamim, for example, Shiva has to be full 7 days. You don't get up in the morning. You would have to get up at the end of the day after the seventh day is over. And according to Abba Shol Nach, you can get up the morning of the seventh. Number two, that was saying that he's arguing whether he's arguing or if he didn't take a haircut before Yom Tov, and now he's still within the 30 days after the Kavodah, after Yom Tov, do we say that he's still in Shloshim and can't cut his hair, like the Tanakhama says, or do we say that already Shloshim is over, like Abba Shol says, and he's allowed to cut his hair, so that when we say that Halacha is like Abba Shol, Tosfos says, it means in both of those dinim that he's arguing with the Chachamim. Continues Rav Chista, Umoidim Chachamim la'Abba Shol. Furthermore, the Chachamim do agree with Abba Shol, Kishachal Shmini Shalolias B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel. If the eighth day comes out on Erev Yom Tov, so fine, that will cancel Shiva, that will cancel Shloshim. But on the other hand, it's Shabbos, and Shabbos, he can't take a haircut. So then they would agree, Shemut L'Galech B'Erev Shabbos. Then they would say he's allowed to cut his hair on Erev Shabbos. Because then the Chachamim are still going to allow it, even though they don't usually say Mikta Seyem Kekulay. So they would say the seventh day is still, the full seventh day still belongs to the time of Shiva. Nevertheless, they would say that in this case, for covered Yom Tov, we're going to allow it. So the Gemara says, Keman Ozla Hodo Amar of Amram Amar Rab. This that Rav Amram says in the name of Rab, which that we're going to quote now, which of these opinions does it follow? Where Rav Amram says, Ovel, kiven she'omdu menachmim me'etzloi, once the menachmim, once those who came to comfort him, leave on the seventh day, mutter berchitza, he's allowed to bathe. So that would be kaman ka Abba Shol. That would be like Abba Shol, because according to the Chachamim, it wouldn't work. They don't say mikta seyim kekuloi. So they would say, even though the menachmim have left, nevertheless, it's still the seventh day of Shiva, and he's not allowed to bathe. But according to Abba Shol, that mixed the same kukulay, once the menachemim have left, then he's fine and he's allowed to bathe. There is, by the way, there are Rishonim who learn that maybe even that would mean the night already could be connected. The Ramban, for example, holds this way, that even the night going into the seventh day, already he'd be allowed to bathe. Maybe we'd say Mikta Seyem Kekulay, that even part of the night coming and passing is that started is already considered the next day. However, other Rishonim disagree with that, and that's not the actual halacha. The actual halacha is you have to wait for the morning. So Minhag Olam is you wait till after Shachris, and then after Shachris is when they tell the Ovel to get up, and then Shiva is officially over. The Gemara continues. Omer Abaya, halacha ka Abba Shol b'yom Shiva. So Abaya says, regarding the seventh day, the halacha is like Abba Shol, that, again, we said, mikta seyem kekulay, and the seventh day doesn't have to be complete. Umoidim chachamim la'Abba Shol b'yom Shloshim, damin and mikta seyem kekulay. Now Abaya says, b'chlal, as far as Shloshim, the chachamim agree with Abba Shol, even though they don't say mikta seyem kekulay, when it comes to Shiva, they do say it when it comes to Shloshim. And a logical reason for that would be because the restrictions of Shiva are much more severe than those of Shloshim. So therefore, even the Chachamim might agree that Shloshim, fine, once the 30th day started, then that's good enough. And we say Mitzvah Kekulay, and he can do whatever he couldn't do doing Shloshim, such as cutting his hair. But only by Shiva, says Abaya, would they be arguing. Rava Omar, Rava says on the other hand, halacha ka Abba Shol b'yom Shloshim. No, the other way around. The halacha is like Abba Shol on the 30th day. That mitzvah seyem kekulay. The ein halacha ka Abba Shol b'yom Shiva. But Rava says the halacha is not like Abba Shol. As far as the seventh day, you would need the full 7 days of Shiva and not say mitzvah seyem kekulay, not to say that he could get up after Shabbos. Unahavdoi Amri, the Chachamim of Nahavdoi disagreed with both Abaya and Rava, and they said halacha ka Abba Shol b'zu b'zu. The halacha is in fact like Abba Shol as far as both of those things, Because we said before that Shmuel says when it comes to a machlokas, as far as the dinim of avelos, the halacha is like the more lenient opinion. So here, since Avashol is the more lenient opinion, then therefore we go according to him, both as far as Shiva and as far as Shloshim, and like Tosfos pointed out before also, that if he didn't cut his hair, if Yom Tov comes in the middle of Shloshim and is Mevakalit, and he doesn't cut his hair before, when he doesn't cut his hair before Yom Tov, that he would be allowed to cut his hair after Yom Tov because Shloshim is over. Okay. The Gemara says, Shloshim Yom Menolon. Where do we get the idea that an oval is not allowed to cut his hair for 30 days? And by the way, we should, I'll point out, here we're saying 30 days. Later on in the parak, the Gemara is going to point out that a number of these dinim are more stringent for a parent, in one of them being this matter of haircuts. With this that we say, that a person is allowed to get his hair cut after 30 days, after Shloshim, is when it was some other relative, his spouse, or children, or brother, or sister, but parents, you have different dinim, we'll talk about later on in the parak. Anyway, so where do we see that 30 days is the time for not cutting hair? Now, I mean, the dinim of avelos are basically dirabanan, but nevertheless, the chachamim want to have a source and a pasuk for something whenever possible. So the answer is yalif pera, pera, minozir. We make a gzeira shava on the word pera, where it says regarding a nozir. Ksiv hocha rasheichem al tifro'u, by Avelos, or by not doing Avelos in this case, Hashem tells Moshe to tell Elazar any summer that you should not let your hair grow long in mourning for Nadav and Avihu, who were killed. So he says, don't let your hair grow as a pera. And of course, the implication is, like we said earlier in the perek, that that they're not supposed to, because they're considered, during the Shiva Simei Miluim, they're considered like Kohenim Gedolim, But everybody else in such a situation would have to let their hair grow long. It says he has to allow the hair of his head to grow long. So malahalam shloshim, afkan shloshim. Just like by a nazir, the minimum length of nazirus is 30 days. The same way by avelus, the restriction on cutting hair is for 30 days. So the Gemara says v'hasam menolon. Okay, well, where by the nazir itself, where do we know that it's 30 days? The Amar of Masna, Stam Nazirus Shloshim Yom. When a person says, I'm going to be a Nazir, and doesn't specify for how long, then it's 30 days. My timer, why? Omar Kura, because the Pasuk says, Kodesh Yiyah, it says the Nazir will be holy, and Yiyah, Begimatria, plus in Havu, the word Yiyah has a Gematria of 30. So therefore, from that we learn that Nazirus lasts a minimum of 30 days. Tosfos actually brings, there is a different opinion in Masechta Nazir, where another Amoda, by Pada, gives a different source for where you learn that there's 30 days for a Nazir. According to him, he would have to explain, like Abishol, that Mikta Sayyim Kikulai, because in fact, by an Oval, we're not saying fully full 30 days, just like by a Nazir, he's saying that a Nazir just has to be for 29 full days, and then he can cut his hair on a 30. Fine. Omer of Huna Breder of Yeshua, Hakol Moedim. Now, everybody will agree, Shachal Shlishi Shalolias Erev Aregel, if the third day of Shiva comes out on Erev Yom Tov, and we're saying that Yom Tov now is going to cancel Shiva, again, that's following the opinion of our Mishnah that said that you need at least 3 days of Shiva before Yom Tov to cancel the Shiva, which, as we'll talk about tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, the Halacha is not like that. But you don't even need 3 full days. You just need a short amount of time. But anyway, if Shiva is going to be canceled by Yom Tov, also berechitza ad ha'eret, he's also to bathe until the evening. In other words, so what does that mean? So Rashi explains that he's saying like this: it's one thing haircut. If he doesn't take a haircut before Yom Tov, he's not going to be able to during Chol HaMoed, because you're generally not allowed to cut your hair during Chol HaMoed. And this wouldn't be one of the exceptions. On the other hand, bathing, you could bathe even on Yom Tov. You could bathe in cold water. Or on Chol HaMoed, you could bathe in hot water. Or Tosfos points out, even on Yom Tov itself, there are ways that you could bathe in hot water. You could go to the hot springs of Tveria, or you could rinse yourself off in hot water. Whatever. So therefore, so we don't allow him, says Rehuna Breder Vishua, we don't allow. find a way to bathe in hot water, like one of the ways that Tosafot said, then he'll do that. On the other hand, Tosafot says that maybe not. Maybe when we say lo erev, maybe when we say ad ha erev means he's not allowed to bathe most of the day of that last day of Shiva, which is going to be canceled by Yom Tov, but he would be allowed to bathe ad ha erev, means not on Yom Tov itself, but shortly before Yom Tov, the covered Yom Tov. And that, in fact, is the halacha, that if Avelus is canceled by a Yom Tov, then you are allowed, in fact, to bathe a little, a short amount of time before Yom Tov in honor of Yom Tov. I had that myself, actually. My father, Al Hashalom, passed away a few days before Rosh Hashanah. So Shiva was canceled for me by Rosh Hashanah, and therefore erev Rosh Hashanah, late in the day, I was able to bathe. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Nechemya Breder of Yeshua. So Rav Nechemya Breder of Yeshua, who pastors is a brother of Rahuna Breder of Yeshua, says, Ashkachtinu l'rapapi ul'rapapa. I found Rapapi and Rapapa sitting. The Yasvi v'kami. They were sitting and saying, Halacha k'Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua. The halacha is like him, that you can't bathe ad ha'erev. Which again, ad ha'erev, according to Rashi, would mean at all during the day. The first time that he can bathe would be on Yom Tov, once Shiva is officially over. And according to Tosafot, it would mean that late in the day, that late in the day he could bathe close to Yom Tov. So the halacha is like that. Ikadamri, another version of how that last point went, is Omer of Nechemya Breder of Yosef, that it's not Rav Nechemya Breder of Yeshua, but rather Rav Nechemya Breder of Yosef says, Ashkachtinu l'rapapi ul'rapapa ul'rabhuna Breder of Yeshua. According to the second version, according to the first version of Huna Breder of Yeshua said the din, and then her papi and her papa agreed with it. According to the second version, Rav Nechemya Breder of Yosef is saying, I found all of these three chachamim sitting together. Ashkachtinu l'rapapi ul'rapapa ul'rabhuna Breder of Yeshua. The Yasvi v'kami. They were all sitting and saying, Hakol moedim shim chal shlishi shaloi liyas erev aregel. Everybody agrees that if the third day of Avelos comes out on Erev Yom Tov, she'osaber chitzad erev, that he's also to bathe until the evening. Again, not at all during the day according to Rashi, late in the day according to Tosafot. Bominei Abaya Merabba or Merabba. So now Abaya asks Rabba the following question. Kovre Beregel, till now we've been talking about where the Avelos began before Yom Tov, and now the Shiva or the Shloshim gets canceled by Yom Tov. What about if the burial took place during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed? Regel Ola Leminyan Shloshim or Ein Regel Ola Leminyan Shloshim? Does the Yom Tov itself count towards the Shloshim or not? So he says, Leminyan Shiva Loikami Bayali. There's no question. I know that the Yom Tov doesn't count towards Shiva, the Naga Mitzvah Shiva, but Regel, because the various things that you're not allowed to do during Shiva, you do during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed. For example, Rashi mentions, We're going to say later on, we talked about before at the beginning of the parak, the various things that the oval is allowed and not allowed to do. And for example, we said an oval is not allowed to wear leather shoes, but on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed he's allowed to. An oval has to turn over his bed, which we'll talk about in more detail later in the parak, but on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed he doesn't have to. So therefore, Sabaya says, I know obviously then that Yom Tov does not count towards Shiva when the burial was doing Yom Tov or doing Chol HaMoed itself. But kikam and boyle, the meaning shloshim. My question is about shloshim, counting the days of Yom Tov towards shloshim. The konaga mitzvah shloshim beregel, because after all, the restrictions of shloshim do apply during Yom Tov, during Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. After all, during shloshim, you're not allowed to cut your hair, and you're not allowed to do gihutz, which we learned earlier in the Masechta as a kind of extra good laundering or pressing the clothes or whatever. So, and those same things are also during Chol HaMoed. So maybe Chol HaMoed should count towards, maybe Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed should count towards the days of Shloshim. So my, what's the din? Omalei ainu oila. So Rabbi tells him it doesn't count. The days of Yom Tov or of Chol HaMoed do not count towards Shiva or towards Shloshim. So in other words, if the burial was during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed, we would not even start Shiva until after Yom Tov. During Yom Tov itself, nothing. Esve, so Abaya asks him, we have a brisa that says, HaKoveres Mesa Shnei Yomim Kodim Aregel. If a person buried his relative 2 days before Yom Tov, where we said in our Mishnah, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, that's not enough to cancel Shiva yet, because you didn't have 3 days yet. So he's going to have to count another 5 days of Shiva after the Yom Tov. During that time, malacha that he needs done for him can't be done, but he himself can't do it, but other people can do it for him. Tosfos says, we're talking about Dover HaAvod over here, otherwise we wouldn't allow him, otherwise we wouldn't allow it to be done either. Anyway, His servants and his maidservants are allowed to do things in private in his house, to do housework and whatever during that time. The Ein Rabbim Masaskinim, right? The Rabbim do not come to be Menachem Ovel him during those 5 days after the Regel. Shekvanis Askubay Beregel, because they already came to be Menachem Ovel during they already came to be Menachem Ovel him during the Yom Tov. Tosfos explains that two possibilities. Does it mean that they came to be Menachem Ovel, or does it mean that they did the Sudas Havra? Tosfos discusses maybe you don't do the Sudas Havra after, which is the first Suda that you give to the Ovel after the burial. Maybe you don't do that on Chol HaMoed. Anyway, the point is, so we're saying, during that Yom Tov, so the Yom Tov itself, we're saying, does not count toward the Shiva or the Shloshim. But work can be done for him privately in his house, and nobody is coming to be Menachem Ovel him. Klola Shel Davar, the general rule is, Kol Shehu Mishum Evel, anything that he's doing because of Avelus, Regel Mafsikoi, then the Regel interrupts that, and he has to finish the 5 days of Shiva after the Yom Tov. V'chol Shehu Mishum Iskei Rabim, anything that involves the Rabim coming and being Menachem Ovel, Ein Regel Mafsikoi, then the Regel is not Mafsikit, and people come during Yom Tov itself to be Menachem Ovel. So therefore, so they do that, and therefore during the remaining days that he's making up after Yom Tov, they don't need to be coming to be Menachem Ovel. And the Braisa continues, Kovre Shlosha Yomim B'Sofer Regel. What happens if the burial was within 3 days of the end of Yom Tov? So then there's not 3 days of Avelus during Yom Tov itself. Mona Shiva Achar Regel. Then you count 7 full days of Shiva after the Regel. Arba Yomim HaRishonim Rabim Misaskin Boy. And again, only during those first 4 days of Shiva after Yom Tov, only then do people come and be Menachem Ovel him. During the last 3 days, they don't need to come to be Menachem Ovel. Again, Shekvanis Asku Berego, because they already were Menachem Ovel him during the last 3 days of Yom Tov. And the Braisa finishes off. The Rego counts toward the days. So, my lava saver. So Rabbi says, isn't those last words regel oilaloi? Isn't that referring to the sefer? So we're saying, in other words, in the case where the burial was during Yom Tov itself. Again, the first part of the Braisa was where the burial was a couple of days before Yom Tov, but there weren't enough days of Shiva for Shiva to be canceled by Yom Tov. Now the second part of the Braisa is talking about where the burial was during Yom Tov itself, and we're saying that the regel counts. The Pashtus, that would mean it counts toward the Shloshim. So what are you telling me, Rabba, that it doesn't? And the answer is loy, aresha, not necessarily. Those last words, v'regel oloy, may be talking about, maybe going back to the resha, where the Braisa had started saying that he had a couple of days of Shiva, he had 2 days of Shiva before the Yom Tov, so then the regel counts towards the Shloshim, because he already started the Avelus. But Rabba says that doesn't necessarily prove that when the burial was during Yom Tov, that the days of Yom Tov should count towards it. So Abaya said another contradiction. Abraisa says, Regel Olala the Minyan Shloshim, the Regel counts towards the days of Shloshim. Ketzad, what's the scenario? Kavru b'tchilas haregel, if they buried the mess at the beginning of Yom Tov, on the first day of the Yom Tov, which, by the way, we learned in Masechta Beitza, that would mean that the burial had to have been done by Goyim, because Jews would not be allowed to do it on the first day of Yom Tov. Anyway, let's say they did that. So Mona Shiva Acha Regel, then he counts full 7 days of Shiva after the Yom Tov. Umalachta Nasai Decherim, again, during that time, during Chol HaMoed, during Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, work that he has that needs to be done, Dover Avod, can be done by other people. His servants and his maidservants can do work privately in his house. But after, actually, we're talking about during the days after Yom Tov. So during the days after Yom Tov, when he's sitting Shiva, Malachde can be done Aydei Achirim, and his Avodah and Shevchosev can do work privately in his house, but in Rabbim Mis Askin Boy, but the Rabbim do not come to be Menachem Obel him, Shekhvanis Askin Boy Beregel, because they were in Menachem Obel him during the Yom Tov. The regal oilaloi, and the Brisa finishes off, the regal counts for him. So here we don't have two different cases. Here the Brisa is clearly talking about a case where the burial was during the Yom Tov, and we still say regal oilaloi. So Tiyupta. So therefore that's a clear contradiction on Rabba's opinion, and therefore that's it. So we're left with that Rab, we don't accept Rabba's opinion. We say the regal does count to even in a case where Shloshim is not canceled by Yom Tov, and we'll learn later on in the Perek of such examples. Nevertheless, it still counts towards the 30 days. And the Gemara finishes off this discussion. Ki also Robin Amar Rabbi Yechanan. When Robin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, yes, I feel a kvore beregel, even if they buried the mess during the Yom Tov itself, the Yom Tov counts towards the Shloshim. Rabbi Lazar paskin the same for his son Rabbi Pedos, that even if the mess was buried on the regal itself, nevertheless the avelos doesn't begin. The avelos, the shiva, doesn't begin until after Yom Tov. But nevertheless, the days of Yom Tov count towards the shloshim. Okay. To be continued tomorrow, Baruch Hashem.